members here. Her mother is Jewish, and she called and she said, "Pastor, would you come?" And today is Yom Kippur, and it's a Day of Atonement, and I can't get a hold of a rabbi. And so Thursday I was a rabbi. Just a country rabbi Thursday. In fact, I told, it's Miss Donna's mother, and I told Miss Donna when I got there, because I'd studied up on the internet about Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement and kind of what the Jewish, you know, their traditions and things. So when I came in the room, I said, "Miss Sarah, may you be inscribed in the Book of Life." And she said, "Which one?" I thought, I said, "The Book of Life, the Book of Life." And so anyway, we talked and we helped. Read scripture out of the Old Testament, you know, for the Jews, Orthodox Jews, they don't believe, they're still looking for Messiah. And I try to tell her we found him, but they don't believe in the Trinity, and I'll talk to you about that in just a minute. But it was interesting that I got some Old Testament scriptures about sin and about forgiving our iniquities in the Old Testament. How many knows it talks about that in the Old Testament in expectation of Messiah coming? And so we talked about that for a while. And in my prayer time on Thursday morning before I went to the hospital, here's the prayer that I came up with. Lord, and I asked her if I could pray over her after we read Old Testament scriptures, because they have a great prayer book, and they read through that, and it's got all the sins listed. She read that over us and prayed over us as well, and so we prayed, and I said, "Can I pray over us?" And I said, "Lord, we thank you for the..." That's a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Spirit's coming right now. I said, "Lord, we thank you for the atonement which you have provided." You can't argue with that, can you? I mean, in the Old Testament, how many knows he's provided atonement? And it was Jesus, and he's come. So we thank you for the atonement you have provided. And we receive that today as a cleansing of all our sins and iniquities. And we thank you for that, that we are clean now because we've asked. And I wanted to say in Jesus' name, but I didn't. Because Paul said, "I've become all things to all men that I might win some." And so when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, I want you to keep that in mind today. That somebody may be different from you, but here's what I know. If we can go to them with love, when we were searching for Nikita Smith, God showed me some things through some people that was searching that was awesome, and how he used them that, you know, that like we was talking about, it's a little rough around the edges as far as their language and some of their lifestyles and things, but God moved in a powerful way, and he really taught me and ingrained in my spirit, you know what, if you won't act so holy, you might win some. If we just act in love, how many knows that love's what's going to win people? And so I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. And keep that in mind as we talk about the Holy Spirit today. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Everybody got your sword and you're ready to learn today? This is a little... Let me get this one. Is it more sturdy? Yeah, let's put it on this one. They already had me one sitting down here, didn't they? They tried to tell me. See, that's not... When you don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, that's what happens to you right there. Another interesting thing that happened to me yesterday, one of our members called and said, "Pastor, I went to some store," and she said, I bought a ticket, a lottery ticket, and said, and I thought I won $40, and I didn't because it was a pick something. She picked something that you pick. And she said, "I won $400. And then she said to me, she said, "And now I'm gonna buy my grandson some clothes or grandbaby some clothes and then I'm gonna win some more for the playground."
Right.
Yeah. And I said, "Well, if that's what you think..." Now, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit today. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit and following the Holy Spirit. How many say this? "Boy, if I could just win the lottery, I'd pay off the church." Let me see your hand. Well, what's the matter with the rest of you? You wouldn't pay off the church? Lord, everybody raise their hand and help them win the lottery. No. Here's the thing we have to be careful with, because you know there's the written word and there's the Holy Spirit and there's principles, and it's, you know, and I didn't preach to her yesterday because she was all excited and stuff, but here's the principle of lottery. I win, you lose. Say, I win, you lose. In other words, you put money in. I mean, the money comes from people putting money in. And so everybody else that doesn't win, that means a whole bunch of people have to lose so I can win. Money that I've not worked for or labored for. And how many knows he said, by the sweat of your brow, you'll make a living. And so the principles of that is, you have to be careful, because the principles is it doesn't line up with Holy Spirit, witness inside. So we have to be careful of that. And I can understand, some of you that like to gamble, all I can say is just be careful. Be careful. It gets in your blood, and it's not a biblical principle, you know. I don't know if it sends you to hell, but it'll make you feel like hell if you lose all your money. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. We're talking Holy Spirit led, okay? Not feeling led, not tradition led. We're talking about Holy Spirit led today. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many has ever heard of the Holy Trinity? You ever heard of that? That phrase, the Holy Trinity? The Holy Spirit is part of the Holy Trinity. In fact, when I was talking with Sarah the other day about this, my little Jewish friend, she said, you know, we have in our prayer book, the only difference between our prayer book and the Catholic prayer book is they have the Holy Trinity in their prayer book and we don't. We just pray to God and we're still looking for Messiah. Something interesting Sarah said to me as well. She said, you know, when Messiah has come, we Jews believe that everything will be set in order and harmony. In other words, when Jesus died, there wasn't order and harmony. There's still murders and adulterers and all the sins that were going on before he died. And then she said, a few years ago, we thought maybe Messiah had come because one of the rabbis that was real popular in their denomination or among the Jews had passed away, and he just lived like a sinless life, and so we thought maybe he wasn't, but he died, and the next day everything was the same, so we knew it wasn't him. And I said, was he born of a virgin? I mean, as the Bible says, he shall be born of a virgin. She said, no, he had Jewish parents, you know, and all. But I was just putting in little seeds, and so just to try to be led by the Holy Spirit. But don't the Bible teaches us a great truth when it says, speak the truth in love. And I think that's what we're coming to is God's bringing our church. Just speak the truth in love. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday that hadn't been to church in a long time. Used to be a member here, used to be an elder here, but he hadn't been to church anywhere in quite some time. And so I'm just being a friend to him. We rode bikes the other night and we're just talking. And I just loved on him this weekend. Had a chance to be around him Friday night and Saturday and just loved on him. But that's what I want us to get to, the place where we, you know what, there's no strings attached. We're just going to love on you. That's Holy Spirit living. That's one of the fruits that you know the Holy Spirit is alive in you. Now, the Holy Trinity, let's talk about that for just a minute. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus, he has been crucified and he's risen from the dead, and then he comes back and he has a word for his disciples, which will be his apostles, and they will carry on the work that he's given them to do for until Jesus comes back, until they die. And so his work is in their hands, and he makes a statement, and it gives a distinction here. There are some religious, some Christian, really, organizations that teach that Jesus in Jesus only. Have you ever heard of that? Jesus only. In other words, they baptize, like in Acts, the second chapter, it says, what shall we do to be saved? And he said, repent and being baptized in the name of Jesus. And they do that. And so other places in the New Testament, they say, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And so they don't, they say that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father are all one. They're not three separate, distinct personalities or entities. And so that's what they teach. I think there's a problem with that, because here's what the Bible says in Matthew 28:19. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and then the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And so he makes a distinction there. And when Jesus was being baptized, remember John was baptizing Jesus, and the Bible said that the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove and descended on Jesus, and then a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so that gives the personality of all three. And then Jesus made this statement. He said, "It's expedient, it's necessary that I go to the Father, because if I don't go to the Father, the Holy Spirit will not come." Now it's really important that you and I know the Holy Spirit has come. I don't think we buddy up and reverence and honor and work with the Holy Spirit like God had intended us to do. It's good to pray in Jesus' name, but some mornings we just need to get up and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." You know, how many knows if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you already? In fact, if you're a real Christian, He's supposed to possess your body. Huh? If we're sold out. Now, in our pastor's class this morning, the starting point, we're talking about that. And can we get to a place where, in Christ, where, you know, we're really living where we should live? And I think we can, don't you? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. The less we live in this flesh and put it under, and the more of the Holy Spirit we take on, the higher we're going to go. Because it's not us anymore, it's the Holy Spirit. Can you remember some of you for praying for your enemies for the first time? How difficult that was. Maybe some of you still hadn't got that far. How many is just like Mr. T when they ask him, he said, "What are you going to do after you became a Christian? Somebody punches you in the nose." He said, "You going to turn the other cheek?" He said, "I hadn't got that far yet." Some of you are like that maybe with your enemies. You just hadn't got that far yet, you know. But the Holy Spirit takes you where you can pray for your enemies and love your enemies. And here's a few qualities out of John 14:26. There's just one word in this 14:26, but I want to show you the power of the one word. It says that the New King James calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter, the Helper. The King James uses the word, it calls Him the Comforter. The NIV calls Him, the same verse, He is the Counselor. And then the Greek definition says, He is the intercessor or the consoler. Oh, that's all one word. That's a pretty good helper, isn't it? Wouldn't you want to hang around somebody like that that says He's your helper, He's your comforter, He's your counselor, He's your intercessor, He is your consoler. And that's all we get that from one word. And it's paraclete in the Greek, but all that comes from one word, and that's what the Holy Spirit is to you and me. That's why it's important we know who the Holy Spirit is, because He's here to help us and empower us to be like Jesus Christ. In Luke the 12th chapter, in 1 Corinthians 2, He is the Holy Spirit of our teacher. He's our Holy Spirit teacher. Okay? In Romans 5:5, He's the one who pours God's love into our hearts. I like that one. He's the one that pours God's love into your heart. So if you let Him, He'll fill you up with love. See, love is not a product of your circumstances. We need to learn that. Love is not a product. You know, "Oh, I love you if," you know, that's not godly love. How many knows godly love is what God put in you and filled you up with? Kind of like when you pull your car into the filling station, you can put water, you can put everything else in there, but I mean, if you put the right stuff in there, it'll fire up and it'll go. And if you get the Holy Spirit in you, you'll have love and you can fire up and go in love and joy and peace all day long. You don't have to, it doesn't depend on somebody making you happy anymore. Some people need to get a hold of that one. Like the guy said, "Did you wake up groppy this morning?" He said, "No, sir, I let her sleep." I mean, no, she is groppy. It's not your problem if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, that we should get up and set our day through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that pours love in. Romans 5:13, He is hope. The Holy Spirit is our hope. In 9:1 of Romans, He is a guide for our conscience. You know, let me tell you something about our conscience. It can play tricks on us, good or bad. It can tell us we're okay when we're not, and it can tell us we're not okay when we are. And so if you let the Holy Spirit guide your conscience, He'll help you to discern what's right and wrong. Because because he'll bring this scripture back to your remembrance. That's a part of his job description that he's given through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is bringing things back to our remembrance. So how many say the older I get, the more I need that as my helper, my bringing stuff that I once knew back to my remembrance. Romans 15:16, he is our sanctifier. You got a problem in sin in your life today, you know what? If you'll call on the Holy Spirit, he'll sanctify. He'll purge that stuff out. He's our sanctifier. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, he is the rightful owner of your body. He says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't treat it like that, but he is. Listen, if he's our temple, if he's the owner of our temple, we ought to eat right. God help us all. Exercise, we ought to sleep when we need to sleep, we need to work when we need to work, and have a healthy body for him that looks like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:3, he's the one who reveals Jesus' true identity. Isn't that important to know who Jesus is? And listen, if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal to you to you and me who Jesus is, we'll never know. He's the revealer of who Jesus is. And so that's very important that we are connected with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, he is the seal of your salvation. That's where all the Baptists are supposed to shout right there. It says right here, he sealed my salvation till the day of his returning. And I'm standing on that. I'm with him. Just seal me up, Holy Spirit, until Jesus comes back. 1 Thessalonians 1:16, he's our joy in times of afflictions. Hallelujah. You got some affliction right now? You got something you're going through? He's your joy in your afflictions. He give you peace with that's his understanding. Even Randy, if OU loses. Randy said, even if OU loses. Let me tell you something, Sooner fans. I'm a Sooner fan. It's a game! Let's hear it for OSU. Come on, let's give it up for OSU. Now everybody say, it's a game! How many knows they got Texas coming up? You know what? And yesterday, I'm a Sooner fan, and when they lost, I thought, well, praise the Lord, when do we eat? It's a game. It's a game. It didn't affect my salvation. It didn't affect my walk with Jesus. It didn't affect my health. It didn't affect, you know, it could affect your health if you let it. We went out to eat at the Olive Garden for dinner, and we asked a little guy that came over to wait on us, how you doing? Well, what's better? And I thought, man, something. He said, yeah, my Sooners lost. I thought, yeah, and it could affect your tip if you don't cheer up waiting on me. Just a thought. It's a game. It's a game. You know, the Holy Spirit focuses on what really matters, you know. Like the character of each player. You know, the character of each player. This our youth pastors entertained a football team the other night and said, you know, they've cut a lot of players because they're building character. And if you don't have character, you're not playing for this team. And I thought, well, good for him. That's Holy Spirit stuff. See, we can still instill Holy Spirit values in our school systems, and we don't even have to call it Holy Spirit. We just take all the traits that He brings to us and teach them this is right and this is right. And we don't have to be preachy about it, but we can train our kids. I was talking to a friend of mine that I've been hanging out with this weekend that's not churched anymore and just loving on him. And he got off on this thing about, you know, well, the kids today just don't want to work. They're just lazy. I said, well, who raised those kids? That's what I tell parents. We can't look at our kids and beat on our kids and say, well, that, you know, did you give them jobs every day when they was little to say, this is your job, and did you train them that there's value in you doing your job to make this family work right and contributing a part, or did you just clean up after every mess and do everything for them? And so it's really important that we realize, you know, we can't gripe about the generation. We just trained and expect God to just hear our cry and relieve us. He gives us power. He gives us power to rear our children correctly. And He gives us power to get the rod out when the rod needs to be instilled. And so we can't blame the generation is all I'm saying. But He'll give you joy in affliction. That's who the Holy Spirit is. I went to see Miss Ray when she was going through her electrolytes bottomed out on her, and she was in the hospital, and but you know what? It didn't zap her joy. I mean, she still preaches even when she's flat on her back, sick. She just got joy, and I thought, that's the way it should be, isn't it? You know, and was giving God praise for her son and for her pastor and for those that came and for what she had and what God was doing. And this morning when I greeted her and said, "It's good to have you home," she said, "It's because of the prayers of the saints." See, she's still just giving thanks and glorifying God. That's Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit will bring in your life. So are you focused on your problems and your what you don't have, or are you giving God praise for what you do have? Joys in your times of affliction. If you want it, welcome the Holy Spirit into your afflicting times and your troubles. Come, Holy Spirit. Be my joy today. I don't have any today, but I want some. Be my joy and my strength today. 1 Corinthians 12 and Hebrews 2. He's the one, the Holy Spirit's the one that gives us gifts and distributes gifts to us, and then He empowers us to use them. Are you with me? Whatever you do, just realize, in Corinthians he says the Holy Spirit gives several gifts to as He wills. And so He gives us gifts, and then He empowers us to use those gifts. And so that's a very important characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Then Ephesians 4:30 teaches us, you know what? You and I can grieve the Holy Spirit. And here's where we have to really be careful, church. We can grieve the Holy Spirit that God has sent to empower us. The very thing that to empower us. In fact, if you have children, you can relate to that in the fact that when your children walk in disobedience, that grieves your heart, doesn't it? I mean, there's nothing that grieves my heart more than when my children are walking in disobedience. It grieves my heart. It tears me up. And I think that's the same way it is with God. When we are disobedient, it grieves His heart, because it grieves His Holy Spirit. And one thing about the Holy Spirit you need to know is that He's a gentleman. He'll never impose on you, but He'll offer Himself. He'll gently come in and He'll say, "I'll empower you. I'll give you joy and peace and life and all the things that I bring," but He will not impose upon you. You have to invite the Holy Spirit in. How many grew up when they didn't say Holy Spirit, they said Holy Ghost? Yeah. I can remember as a young Christian hearing the word, somebody said Holy Spirit on there, and I thought, are they trying to soft pedal the Holy Ghost? No, they're not. It's the same word. It's kind of like church and body. It's the same word. So if you say Holy Ghost, you hear us older people referring to the Holy Ghost, that's the same thing. Spirit, Ghost, whatever, you know. It's the same thing. It's interchangeable. But we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have children, it'd be like one of your friends betraying you, you know, and or walking off in the darkness and getting off into things that you cannot believe. Then how that grieves your heart. That's the way it grieves the Holy Spirit when we don't obey God. And so it's really important to line up with this word so we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us direction. Let me give you a few things that He gives us direction on. Number one, He gives us directions on what He wants us to do. If you don't know that, just get that in your spirit today. He gives you and I direction on what He wants us to do today. Now, does the Holy Spirit say, "Well, Jack, today I want you to wear this striped shirt and gray pants"? No, not really. When you get up in the morning, you might hear Him say, "Just put your clothes on, okay? That's good enough for me. Just cover up your nakedness," because that goes along with God's Word. But you know, He's not, and He may tell you sometime what to wear on a specific place you're going or something, or where to be, and same with your job, your vocation. I think a lot of times, you know, He's already put passions and gifts in us. It's just identifying those passions and gifts to what we really love doing. And so, if you do something you're passionate about and you love, here's what I know, you won't burn out in it. If you're doing something right now that you don't particularly like, but you're doing it because of money, or it's easy, or this or that, probably you're going to have a very uneventful, unexcited life, and you're just going to dread getting up and going to work. Let me give you an example. This morning in our starting point class, we were talking about water baptism being just an act of our obedience, isn't it? That's all it is. You know, it's not. Even if you're going to look pretty in front of people, how many knows when they dunk you underwater and you come up, your makeup smeared and your hair is plastered to your head, that's not real pretty. Here's what's beautiful about baptism. It's an act of obedience in your will. See? It's an act of obedience. And so when the Holy Spirit is telling us, this is what I want you to do, the beauty of the thing is, we're just being obedient, you know. And so when he gives us a gift, and so Marlene said, you know, I love to greet. And so she said, when I come to church, I love greeting. And she said, back when she was out in the world, guess what she was for different stores? A greeter. Because she loved to greet. She said, you remember, was it Baker? Baker Foods? I said, no, I don't remember that. How many remembers Baker Foods? Do you remember Baker Foods? Because your grandma told you? No. Really? Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, none of us remember Baker Foods. But anyway, she said, I just love to greet. And so she greeted for Baker as long as they were in business. When they went out of business, guess where she went? Welcome to Walmart. Now, me and you, we just walked in and they said, welcome to Walmart. We said, thank you very much. We walked on, and when Marlene walked in, they said, welcome to Walmart. She went, oh. Resonated with her because that's a part of her gift, to say, I would like to tell people, welcome to Walmart. How are you? And shake their hands and make them feel welcome. That is an important part. When you have like one of the number one retailers in America that says it's really important to put a happy face at your front door, all the rest of the people that won't stay in business ought to take heed to that. Just a thought. While their stock is splitting and going, everybody else are going down the tubes, and they're saying, welcome to our store. You know, just a thought. But she identified with that because Holy Spirit had put gifts in her that said, welcome wherever I am, you're welcome. I bet when you go to her home, she's like, welcome to my house. She got that in her spirit. That's part of her gift mix. So he gives us gifts. He tells us what to do. In Acts, the 13th chapter, there was a church in Antioch. It was filled with leaders and pastors. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, how do you minister to the Lord? Well, you wait on Him with prayer, and you talk to Him, and you ask Him, God, do you want us to go or not? And it said, who do you want to go? And so they said, well, separate me, Paul and Barnabas and whomever in that passage, and said, and send them. See, they didn't just take an election. They did a Holy Spirit check and said, who do you want to send? They ministered to the Lord and fasted. And as they waited on God just in His presence, then He came and He said, this is, and I don't think it was an audible voice. I think they just, I call it knowing in your knower. You just know. Have you ever just known something? You don't know how you know it. You just know, I know this, and it comes to pass. It's probably a prompting from the Holy Spirit saying, this is what's going to happen. Right now, we're talking about going to Guatemala, a few of us, and we've heard that it's the violence is a lot more intense now, and don't ride on the bus. They got colorful buses that they painted up, their government did, and they go up the mountains, just the old buses just smoking, rolling smoke, and they said, if you're an American tourist, don't get on those buses. It's very, very dangerous. If you're an American tourist, don't travel certain places, certain times of day. Be careful at the airports. Remember Pastor Nicholas was telling us that last time? Be careful at the airports with your jewelry and things because of pickpockets. And they spot tourists. They're looking for tourists. And so what we're doing right now, or I'm doing, and I hope our team is just praying, saying, God, do you want us to go? And I think if we get the release to go, we just go on down there because the safest place is in the will of God. And so, but I think it's important. He'll tell you where you need to go, and He'll tell you where you shouldn't go. In the same book, the book of Acts, in Acts 16:6, he said that through the Holy Spirit, they were forbidden to preach the word in Asia. Now, when I was studying for this message, I thought, you know, there's something there. And if you're a Bible student and like to study, I'll give you an assignment and you can report back on it because I want to look into this deeper. But one of the things I noticed was, because my third point is the Holy Spirit gives us warning about the future. You know, what's going to take place. He'll just prepare you for future events and what's coming up. He did that with Paul in Acts 20 and 22. He said, see, now I am bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me. He said, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to go, like we're praying to go to Guatemala. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to go to Jerusalem, but he said, I'm getting a consistent thing from different churches and different people as I travel. And what would you do with this if you were Paul? He says, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying the chains and tribulations await me. See, be like our team saying, now we're going to go to Guatemala, and then you go to school and someone with your Christian friend says, you know, Haley, I know you feel like God wants you to go, but I'm telling you, there's some stuff waiting on you there. You better be careful. You know, Adam, there's some stuff just, you know, they don't like shiny, bald-headed people there, and you better be careful. You're really going to stick out because they are dark-complected and they got dark, you know. And then you go somewhere else and some other friend says, have you prayed about Guatemala? Because, you know, I feel like there's something just not right for you. I mean, and this is what Paul's getting every time he stops. There's chains, there's tribulations, and here's what he's got in his heart. He says, but in my heart I feel like God's saying, go to Jerusalem. I got to go to Jerusalem. And so you think, well, what's this all about? And then remember, he said, where you shouldn't go to Asia. Well, right before he's arrested, guess who stirs up problems for Paul? It's Jews from Asia. I thought, man, there's some kind of connection there, isn't there? And I didn't have time to study that out, but I thought, don't go to Asia right now. He went to Asia after that word, because evidently he was released by the Holy Spirit. But then, when he comes time for change, here's these Asian, or these Jews from Asia, that's stirring up the fight, all the town and the religious sector, and they come in and arrested Paul after they stirred him up. But what are you going to do with that? But if you feel like there's danger, but you feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to go, because you keep getting these warnings, well, you just go. You just go. You know, Jesus went on to the cross knowing the pain and the suffering because that's where the Holy Spirit directed him. And I think it's okay, church, to say this, Lord, if this cup can pass, you know, I'm getting these words, if this cup can pass, let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See? So I just want you to know, sometimes when you get a warning from the Holy Spirit, you know, you're going through this, but there's warnings being given out. You know, it's not conflicting, it's just different. On the one hand, he says, I've got to go to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit's prompting me. On the other hand, three or four or five people saying, you better not go to Jerusalem. You have to go if that's where God wants you to go. And he'll keep you. I mean, I think it was this. I think it was just no surprise once Paul got there. You know, if the Holy Spirit said to you, you're going to walk into this meeting today, but just be prepared. Well, just be prepared. And so when something blows up in the meeting today, don't go, what's going on? But instead, you can sit there and say, yeah, the Holy Spirit warned me about you. You know, you don't say it audibly, you know what I'm saying. You just say, the Holy Spirit told me about this. He prepared me for this. Some of you that just are in constant turmoil about family gatherings or this or that, you know what? Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you what to do and where you should go, what you should say, what you should not say, when you should say this, when you shouldn't say this, and he'll help you, and he'll give you peace that passes understanding, and people begin to wonder and think, what is up with you? And they'll ask for the hope that's within you. That's the Holy Spirit's position. Who does the Holy Spirit use? And I wanted you to turn here and look at this real quick with me. In Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Who does the Holy Spirit use? He uses people just like me and just like you. Just like us. Michael was telling me about some spiritual things in his life that's happening. He said, I don't understand. I said, just ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, what does this mean? See? Because if there's spiritual things happening in your life and you don't understand it, there's things coming to you or what, just ask the Holy Spirit, is this you? Is this of God? And if it is, what does it mean? Because if you have some kind of revelation or you have some kind of knowledge that you don't understand, he'll bring peace to you and he'll bring understanding if you'll ask him and just wait and listen. So here he is, and look at, this was so beautiful, I thought, because here he is, these are just normal people. In verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout. You know who the Holy Spirit uses? People that are obedient. who are saved in through Jesus Christ. He says he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now this is one little man. It doesn't even, you know, it doesn't say what position he held or what he did, or it's just one individual that loved God and walked in his ways, and God said to him one day, I'll tell you this much, you will see my son before you die. That's a powerful word from God, isn't it? How many of you is walking along one day and the Lord said to you, Delisa, before you go, I'm going to reveal the Antichrist to you. How many would you say, whoa? Now, I don't know if I'd tell that to you if he told me that, because, you know, people think, you're weird. But that would be almost that huge. I'm going to reveal to you, you're going to see the Son of God before you die. This is a promise from God to Simeon, whoever he is. And he says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit he would not see death before he seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents, you see where he came by the Spirit into the temple. Lord says, go to church. It's not church time, but go to church. You ever been told by the Lord to go somewhere? Wasn't time to go there, but you just felt like you need to call someone, you need to go, you need to do whatever it is. It's out of your rhythm, but you know, you felt a prompting to do this. I've done that before. I'd call people and say, are you okay? And they say, no. How did you know? Well, I just praying and your name came to my heart. Came to my mind. And they'd begin to tell me, and we'd have prayer. You know, God knows when we can be a blessing. So he came by the Spirit, at the Spirit's prompting. And when the parents brought in Christ Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. He sees this little baby, like probably looked like any other baby to all the rest of the world, but it didn't look like all the rest of the babies to him, did it? It looked like Jesus. It looked like Messiah. Now I thought, well, why would God allow somebody like this that we don't even know who he is, prompt him to go to the church, go to the temple on this day, and make this kind of a statement? I think he did it for Mary and Joseph, is what I think. How many knows when if you're engaged, you know, young men, you're engaged, and your bride comes to you and says, I'm pregnant. You say, well, how did you get pregnant? Well, the Holy Spirit came and impregnated me. Oh, yeah? I mean, now you talk about faith. And Joseph didn't have that kind of faith, because Joseph, God had to give Joseph a dream, didn't he? And so in a dream, he says, Joe, it's okay. Mary's with child, but it's by the Holy Spirit. But that's a dream. And so he gets up, and so now, here's confirmation and affirming who Christ is. And so I think it just done something for both of them, just to say, you know what? Especially for Joseph, this is the Christ child. This is the one. And here's somebody he didn't know. How many has ever got a confirming word from somebody and they didn't even know it? That is so powerful. Last Sunday night, I went down to Oak Grove Community Church, and I spoke to them about, you know, their pastor had committed adultery, and he wanted to stay and preach, you know, just right after that fact, and try to take their money. It's an awful situation. And so one of the things the Holy Spirit spoke to me was, there's a spirit of lust and a sexual spirit in here that needs to be broken. Because this has been a reoccurring thing over the years with pastors in that area. And so I thought, well, you know, but he kept saying, Jack, this is what I want you to do. So I called the leadership of that church up and I said, I want to pray over you. There is a spirit here that's sexual, like infidelity, adultery, there's lust here, and that I don't know what leader, because it said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the true church. And so here we were, and I said, you know what a gate is? A gate is what lets something in or lets something out. And most of them's from the country, and so they could. I said, if you farmers, you don't shut your gate, what's going to happen? Well, the cows will get out. I said, yeah, or people will get in that you don't want in on your property and trespass and tear it up. And I said, same way spiritually, if we open a gate, and some leader somewhere has opened a gate for this church, and I need to pray with you guys and agree with you, and I brought the leadership up and anointed them with oil, and we prayed. And when I got through, I had two people in the congregation come up to me. One of them said, you know, God uses me in ministering to people and helping them delivered from narcotics and different things. And that's part. He said, and that's exactly what God spoke to me that this church needed. Before I could get back to the board meeting, I met with their board. They said, another person came up and said, thank you so much. That's what exactly what we needed. I thought, two confirmations before I got to the board meeting. I got to the board meeting. Some of the board members said, you know what, Pastor, we appreciate you doing that. Because we've had people calling say, you need to break that spirit. There's a spirit there that doesn't need to be there. Now see, that didn't help my situation, but it helped me to know that what the Holy Spirit had spoke to me, I had given to them, and now they'll have a better chance of that never happening again because it's been addressed, and I gave their board, I said, we just speak authority in this church. You guys are the authority, and the overseers, and to take to give them blessing and eyes to see for this particular spirit, because how many knows it'll always try to come back. So you just beware, because if you let it in the second time, he said it's seven times worse, and so you just have to be careful. But that's just one little illustration of how the Holy Spirit works. See. Confirmation. I think this is what he did for Joe and Mary more than anything. He gave them confirmation. Verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Isn't that a powerful word for some man of God that came in and at the direction of the Holy Spirit and spoke this worldwide prophecy over this little child? Under the direction of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit want to do through you? At school, at work, in your community? What does he want to do and say through you that's going to be powerful, that's going to change lives? Well, I'm telling you, he's still doing that today. And then it talks about, look in verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and I put that in there because how many knows God is still using people of great age. All the people of great age said amen. Amen. And had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. This woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. So here's a little granny that just, you know, we call them little church mamas, and she's prophesying a word of who he is through the Holy Spirit. One of the things we don't do often enough, and I don't either, is fast. Something powerful about fasting and praying. And so they were revealed to these individuals, and the Holy Spirit still wants to reveal his will to us. The Holy Spirit is an enabler. If you want to read Mark 13:11, he said, when you're taken up, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you words to say. He'll be your speaker and your mouthpiece and your thoughts. The only unpardonable sin, listen to me, the only unpardonable sin in the Scripture is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. You know, we think sometimes adultery is, we think sometimes pedophiles are, we think, and you know, all these different sins that we think are horrible, which are horrible, but we think they're unpardonable sins. They're not. Are you with me? They're not unpardonable sins. We make some, you know, like big sin, little sin, all this stuff, and we've talked about that in our Bible studies, but the only unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what I believe. I believe if you're going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, one, you have to know the Holy Spirit. You know, if I didn't know a person, how could I blaspheme that person? I wouldn't even know who they are. You know, so I think it's a relationship, that somebody has a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and at some point they start to deny his existence and start talking bad, or, you know, that's all a bunch of that's a hoax, and this, you know, and I think we can do that, and after we've known the Holy Spirit. And here's, I might add this before we close out here. If you think or afraid that you might have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, you haven't. They say, well, how do you know? Because you wouldn't be afraid if you had. You'd be walking in such darkness you wouldn't care. In Romans 1:28, he says, for since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, what God had given them, He gave them over to a depraved or reprobate mind to do what ought not to be done, and they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. You know, on and on and on it goes. And so if you're afraid that you have slandered or blasphemed the Holy Spirit, you haven't, or you wouldn't be afraid. Just repent. It's just Satan trying to push you out the door of the church. Now, David did say this. David said he believed that the Holy Spirit could be taken from you. You know, talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. David said this in Psalm 51:11, do not cast me from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. I think that would be one of the worst things that ever in the world to happen is to have the Holy Spirit taken from us. And David said, in fact, not only can it be taken from you, but listen, Isaiah 63:10, if you want to write that down, it says, but they rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit, so He, God, turned Himself against them as an enemy, and He fought against them. How many knows how God fought against the Old Testament? A lot of times He'd raise up an army, and He'd bring them in, and He would just devour everything they had partaken in because they're serving idols and you know, doing their own thing and grieve the Holy Spirit, and He'd bring in other countries to just destroy them, literally everything they'd worked for. Wouldn't it be a great opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come in right now while the economy's just kind of crumbling around us and bring peace? And I think, church, we need to be really sensitive right now in our economy to say, you know what, we can be the peacekeepers. We can be bringing in the peace right now to families that are in turmoil. That friend of mine I was hanging around with, he's a contractor, and he's like, got a big ad in the paper, in the phone book. He said, you know what? He said, and I'm always flooded with calls. He said, since the economy has failed, I've got 2 calls, and I'm almost caught up with all my work. And that's when he started talking to me about the Antichrist and the end times and what I thought. See, he hadn't been to church in a long time, but he talked to me about that, because this is something that's going to affect his crew and his bank account and everything else. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in these areas. How do you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5:22. Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? I know. We all think, well, if you're speaking tongues, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you prophesy, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I think the truest test and measure of being filled with the Holy Spirit is Galatians 5:22. Are you full of love? Or are you just full of it? I'm telling, that's just what the Bible says. Are you full of love? That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're just bubbling with love, that's a fruit. That's an evidence, an obvious evidence that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with joy? Or does people say, are you okay? You don't look so good. Huh? If you have lack of joy today, it's not a physical problem. You can hurt physically and it affects your joy, but it's a spiritual problem. If you're not full of joy, it's not a relationship problem. It's a Holy Spirit problem. Are you full of peace today? You know, if we could bottle peace today, we'd all be rich, wouldn't we? If we could market it and put the peace that passes understanding that we receive with Christ, if we could just bottle that stuff and hand it out and say, here, I'll give it just for $1. 50 cents, we could just get filthy rich. Because the world's looking for peace. Well, peace comes through the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's a Spirit-filled life. That's what He produces in and through you. And if you've got peace today, whether you know it or not, that's a product. That's what the Holy Spirit has produced in you. Long-suffering or patience. Now, how many's like me and you? That's the one that you really have to struggle to tell if you're Holy Spirit-filled or not. Patience. See, that's pretty easy for me, but boy, when it comes to patience, that's a hard one for me. I read something that reminded me of people like me and patience. It says, patience is the ability to keep your motor idling when you feel like stripping your gears. See, if that resonates with you, you're like me. It's like, you don't have much patience. But that's a fruit of the Spirit. And so I got me a plan. First, you got to recognize that's not a Holy Spirit trait in me, and so I'm giving Him control. Then you make yourself a plan. And my plan is keep books handy all the time because I hate lines. And everything that makes me impatient, I deal with that in a specific manner, a planned manner, and then work your plan. You know, so if one of these areas you're coming short in, identify it, have your plan, work your plan. It's real simple. Holy Spirit will help you with that. Kindness, are you kind to others? Goodness. My pastor saw me at Red Lobster the other day, brought me lunch, and I sat at a table about six or eight other pastors and some of their wives, and we were at Red Lobster, and Elvis was waiting on us. My boys love Elvis. How many of you knows Elvis at Red Lobster? He loves to sing, you know, just a great guy. But they were so cranky. They were. I was embarrassed. Well, where's he at? We don't even have any cheese bread. I mean, I thought, they don't even know. They're all sitting here in a group. And they're just, I thought, you don't even act like Christians. And I thought, that's how we get sometimes. It's just, you know, it's terrible. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Are you faithful in what God's given you? Gentleness. I probably have my personality, gentleness is not one of my strong, so I have to work on that too, being gentle instead of just forthright. Self-control, some of you, I've watched some of you, and boy, you need to work on that one. Self-control. I'm sorry, I love you though, I can't leave you there, okay? We got to, some of you, you know, your little emotions just running everywhere, and you know, you say something, and boy, your cold countenance changed. You're allowing people to control your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. You know, if you say something to me, and it'll probably, I mean, it could be harsh, you know, like, that's the driest, stupidest message I ever heard. You know what I think about? I think, well, what's the matter with you? You know why? Because I studied, and I, in fact, one of our prayer partners told us the other day, he said, I preached a message, and she said, my neighbor said, and that's dry, I didn't get anything out of that. When I preach, can you believe that? You know what I thought? That person's not even saved if they can't get something when I preach. And then we said, who was it? She said, well, I'm not telling. And I thought, well, if you're not going to tell us, just shut up. I really don't want to know about that stuff. No, I didn't think that. But I'm just saying, people's going to say stuff about you, and self-control says, the Holy Spirit's in control of me. And you know, and I take whatever you say at face value and evaluate it, but it's not going to make my day or ruin my day. I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit. I have self-control because the Holy Spirit is in control. See, big difference, isn't there? And learn how to live in joy and peace and all the things that He's given to us. So all those are fruits. That's how you know you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Who can receive the Holy Spirit? And I got to hurry, so I'm not going to give you scripture here, but I'll just say them, you can write them down. Those who know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. You have to know Jesus as Savior and Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's John 1:33, John 7:37, and John 14:26. Then those who ask. Sometimes we make it hard, you know, because we think if you don't have tongues or if you don't have certain evidences, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is not true doctrine. If you have fruits of the Spirit, it's because you have Holy Spirit. Now, you ought to ever... Here's what I'd like to say. We ought to all... It said, desire spiritual gifts. See, he said, you should desire everything God has for you. And then pursue love. And keep that sequence in order. Desire spiritual gifts and pursue love. Don't pursue gifts, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But ask. Those who ask. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you got to ask. He said, just ask. I'll fill you the Holy Spirit. And then, here's another important thing. You got to know Jesus, you got to ask, and then you need to walk in obedience. Acts 5:32. We are witnesses of these things, and so the Holy, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Who has given to those who obey Him. See, He won't inhabit unclean vessels. So you need to make sure your vessel's clean through obedience in Christ. I've got this question before. Can children be baptized? in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit? Can they know Jesus at a young age? And I've seen that and witnessed it myself. A young evangelist when I used to go to school or a church with out at Dahlberg Missionary Baptist Church. I watched him receive Christ. He was about 6 years old, tears flowing down his cheeks. Next time I saw him, he was about in his early 20s preaching a revival at that same church. Can they? Yeah, they can. Here's a scripture for you. Luke 1:15. He's talking about John the Baptist. He said, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." How young is that for you? Is that young enough? Before he hits the dirt, you know, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, before he breathes, oxygen. I'm country, okay? That's what we would say. Here's your phrase, if you want a country phrase. We laughed. We thought this was so funny. In the country, we thought, they used to say this when I was a kid. We came out of a restaurant and Janice said, "Whoo, I'm full as a tick." Yep. Isn't that a gross statement? I hadn't thought of that in years. I said, "That is gross." We grew up with that. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit before he hit the dirt. You know, that's me. But then it gave evidence of that. It said in Luke 1:41, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, Jesus' mother, it said the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." I think it was mother and child. They were filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. And boom, the little John leaps in her womb. So can children? Absolutely, children can. And we shouldn't forbid them to come. I've had people who didn't want their kids to get baptized because they said, "I got Jesus in my heart. Why come I can't be baptized?" You know? I mean, Holy Spirit will indwell kids. We just need to chill out and let Him do His job. And then finally, in closing, why does God fill us with His Holy Spirit? Now listen, this is the real key right here, and I'll close with this. But in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be a witness." You will be a witness. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you don't want to witness, you're not going to be real full of the Holy Spirit. Because that's why the Holy Spirit comes. It's so you can be an effective witness. Do you want to be an effective witness for Christ? I know some of you do. You talk to me about people you're witnessing to and God's challenged you to reach. But if you want to be a witness, and we all should want to be a witness, here's my prayer for our church right now. God, make us the evangelists and make us disciples. Let's get back to what really matters. If we can't win people and disciple people, we might as well just go ride our bikes or something on Sunday, you know? So, would you pray that with me? Fill me with your power, Lord, so I can be a witness. Come, Holy Spirit, and saturate me and purge out everything that doesn't look like you, because I want to be a witness to the person at the cleaners. I want to be a witness to the person at the gas station. I want to be a witness to the person at the job and the school and in other countries, wherever we go, wherever you do. I want to be a witness for you today. And in my own strength, I know I'm a poor witness. I want to be a witness to my husband today. I want to be a witness to my wife today. I want to be a witness to my children or a witness to my grandchildren. I took my grandchildren to get donuts. It's our ritual on Sunday morning, so now we got this class. And I said, we're changing up. I'm going to take you all to get donuts. I'm taking you home. And they got in the truck. When is this thing going to be over? Because they can't come to church now. I got the class. I said, well, we're trying to win people for Jesus, and we're trying to build disciples, and this is a discipleship class, and I got some people want to learn and put a foundation under them. They said, "Oh, well, how long is it going to be?" And I said, "Here's the deal. If you don't get a better attitude, your donuts won't be very much longer." And they said, "Oh, well, we're happy then," and they changed their attitude, and we went and got a donut and enjoyed the deal. But let's pray. God, help me be a witness and light and a disciple. Not only to win them, but to help them put enough in them and stay with them long enough to get a foundation underneath them so they won't fall out. So here's the question. Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? You're a candidate for the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I think if you truly know Him as Lord and Savior, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? One guy said we need all kinds of infillings cause we leak. We're leaky vessels, earthen vessels. Number two, are you walking in obedience? That's really important if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number three, are you ready to be a powerful witness? Tell others what Jesus has done for you. And number four, are you ready to ask, "Fill me with your Holy Spirit"? That's all. That's all it takes. for the Holy Spirit to work powerfully in you, to make you a different person, to make you a person that people say, what happened to you? You're so much better. You're so much more loving. You got so much peace now. You got, what do you have? I'd like to have what you have. Huh? It's for people to see you. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit, church, to do that. Let's pray. If you're here today and your vessel's not clean, I want you to pray this with me. And then we'll pray, lead you in a prayer to ask the Holy Spirit into your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, if your vessel needs clean, just say this to Him. You can say it silently, out loud, I don't care, because He's here. And just say it with a sincere heart. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me, I'm an unclean vessel. I make You Lord now in every area of my life. I yield my life completely to You today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, let's all pray this, if you would. Fill me, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit. I want my life to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and self-control. Come, Holy Spirit, I give You myself. Fill me right now. Baptize me right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, now I want you to take what you just, that Holy Spirit, that new infilling today, and I want you to say, God, I'm going to get somebody here next Sunday. It's our 22nd anniversary next Sunday. We're going to have some people being baptized, and we're going to have a big lunch here. I want you to invite people and cook them a lunch. Tell them I'm cooking lunch for you. I made enough for me and my family and for you, and we're having a big lunch. We always have an excellent lunch here on our anniversary date. So invite them to come. If you're a guest, I invite you all back next Sunday to be our guest, to eat with us and be a part of the baptisms. We've got special music and things. But to invite some friend that you've been thinking about, praying about, take this new infilling that you have and be a powerful witness for Christ and bring them to church with you next Sunday.
Amen. All right. As Jack said, when you do the videos, you get to put pictures of your son on there. When you're the youth pastor, you get to brag on your teens. And I just want to take a minute to talk about Tubbs. We had his video up there as we were doing our meet and greet. You may not have seen it, but Tubbs was involved in the Guitar Center drum off last week. Several of the youth came out, and Pastor Jack came out. Thank you for that. But we just wanted to celebrate Tubbs. And those gifts that people have, you know, you may think, well, he's just a crazy loud drummer. No, he's drumming for Jesus Christ right now, and that's a big difference from what a lot of people are doing. So we want to celebrate that and congratulate you for a great job that day. Couldn't get him to do a solo today or any other day so far, but we'll keep pushing for that. But that's what the video was earlier of him doing that. And we just think it's awesome when any of the young people get up and show their talents. He did a great job that day, so we're proud of you, Tubbs, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
Also, just a reminder, we have our Guatemala meeting right after church in the Fellowship Hall. It'll take about probably 15 minutes. So if you're interested in going to Guatemala with us in 2009, probably March of 2009, meet in there after church. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close in prayer. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to be in Your presence today, God, and we thank You for sending the Helper. We thank You for sending the Holy Spirit down here to help us and assist us and be here for us, and we thank You for that promise. God, I hope that each person this week just acknowledges